I swapped with Sean, so Sean will be going in November, and I took over for today. So if you have your Bibles and you want to turn and look where we're going to be today, we're going to be in Luke chapter 15. So Luke chapter 15. Today I wanted to talk about some familiar stories, parables, stories that we all know a lot about. So Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells three parables. He tells a parable about a lost sheep, a parable about a lost coin, and a parable about a lost son. Okay, so here in a minute, I'm going to let y'all discuss again, because I don't know why I keep doing that. But anyway, something to maybe wake up Papa or whoever else is tired this morning, get people talking. So, but before we do that, let's quickly go over these parables just to kind of refresh your memory, even if that may not need doing. Okay, but the first one that Jesus says is a lost sheep. Okay, so suppose one of you had 100 sheep and loses one. Does he not leave the 99 in open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts on his shoulders and goes home. He calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice, I found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous who do not need to repent. So there's the first one. Okay, the parable of the lost coin. Okay, it says a woman had 10 silver coins and she loses one. Does she not light the lamp and sweep the house and search until she finds it? When she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors and rejoices, "I found my coin." The same way, there's more rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. Okay, and I'll paraphrase the last one. Okay, the lost son. Okay, we all know that one. So a man has two sons. And the youngest one says, "Dad, I wish you were dead. Okay, give me my inheritance." Okay, and the dad does what his son asks. Okay, it says that he divided it up between his two sons. The oldest and the youngest split the inheritance. They get their inheritance. Well, the youngest son, we know, goes off to a far country. Okay, and he starts blowing his money on whatever comes to his fancy. I mean, he's kind of out there doing whatever he wants. You know, wasting it. Who knows what he's doing with it, okay? And so eventually he runs out of all the money, all the friends are gone, all the wine's gone, all the goods are gone, and he's left all by himself. Because when you're with those kind of friends and the money runs out, you don't seem to have those friends anymore. And so he's reduced himself to being a feeder of pigs, and he's sitting there in the slop, sitting there thinking, "I want to eat this stuff," okay? So he's at an all-time low, and then he says, "This is stupid. Sorry, Jake, I didn't mean to say that. This is ridiculous. What am I doing here sitting wanting to eat pig slop when my father's servants have all this stuff and a house to live in? I'm just going to go back home and tell my father I'm not even worthy to be a son. Just make me a servant." Okay, and he goes back home. The dad sees him, runs to him, puts his arms around him, puts a ring on his finger, has a big party. Okay, and so we all know that story. Okay, all right. Now, what I want to happen is, okay, I want this left side, okay, I want y'all to think about the parable of the lost sheep, okay? Okay, two things to think about, okay? One, if you lost a sheep, okay, what would be your reaction on what would you do, okay? Would you say, that's a silly question to ask, sorry. Do any of y'all have sheep? Jaquan does. Okay, so Jaquan will be our expert on this section, okay? But what would you do in that situation, okay? Don't use sheep. Whatever it is, if you've lost one, are you going to give up everything to go find that one, okay? That's one. And then two, okay, think about, okay, what's the takeaway from this parable, okay? When we teach our kids or when we think about this parable, what is the point that Jesus is trying to make, okay? So be thinking about that, okay? Middle section, okay? The lost coin, okay? If you had 10 coins and you lost one, are you going to spend all day trying to find this one coin? Okay, there's one start. And then two, okay, what's the takeaway from this little parable that Jesus tells, okay? All right, right side. There's more of y'all, so y'all get the longest one, okay? So the parable of the lost son, okay? Think about it. Okay, your son comes to you and says, "Dad, I don't want you to be alive anymore. I want my money." He goes away. He blows it on stuff that you know he doesn't need to be doing anyway. And then he comes back, okay? What's your reaction to that son, okay? I know we're in church, but it doesn't have to be, okay, the exact right answer, okay? What's your real reaction, okay? If they come back, okay, or if not, what's your reaction? What would be the typical response? Or what would people think that father should have done, okay? And then also think about, what's the takeaway from this parable? What's What do we teach? What's the point? Okay, now I know there's not one answer, but be thinking about those kinds of things. And then everybody, I want you to think, okay, these three stories, what's something that they have in common? Okay, about the characters in it, or the stories, or the thought process. Just think about what do all three of these have in common? Okay, and I'll give you guys a couple minutes to talk about that. So go ahead. Okay. All right. All right, so we've got these three parables, okay, all these lost things, okay? So before we go into individuals, okay, let's think about, okay, what do these three stories, what do these three parables have in common? Okay, something's lost, okay? All right, what else? Something's found, okay? All right, what else?
There's
joy in finding.
Thing that was lost and very valuable.
Okay, very valuable. Okay, Anything else? Okay, one case of repentance. Okay. This would be hard for a sheep and a coin to repent, but I see what you're saying. That's good. All right, anything else? Okay, each of them had a finder, right? Okay. So think about the story, okay? Who are the three finders are in the story? Okay, a shepherd, a father, and a what? What was the third one? All right, a mother, okay? Okay. All right. So, you know me, everybody jokes about me being a Jew. So when Jesus was telling these parables, okay, the Pharisees, okay, these guys who had the Old Testament memorized, who their life was devoted to following the Scripture, okay, when Jesus tells a story about a shepherd, a mother, and a father, okay, those three things, okay, were a picture of God, okay? Now, in the Psalms, okay, the Psalms is all about talking about God's power and His strength and His holiness, okay? But these three, okay, talk about the gentleness and the compassion of God, okay? If you think about a shepherd, okay, what's a text in the Psalms that talks about a shepherd? Okay, Psalm 23, right, okay? Okay, He leads me beside still waters, okay? He takes care of me in the darkest shadow, okay? We know this picture of a shepherd taking care of his sheep, okay? The cool thing is, in that culture, okay, shepherds most of the time were preteen girls or guys under 20, okay? It's not some shepherd with a stick that's hitting his sheep into place, okay? But it's think of this almost a child guiding these sheep, okay? And they don't do what the shepherd says. They listen to their voice and they follow. The shepherd's not behind. The shepherd's in the front leading them where they need to go, okay? So you can think of this, the gentleness of God, okay? Think of, you know, the gentleness of you know, that kind of picture, okay? Not some old dude sitting under a tree with a stick, okay? Which it is in nowadays, but back then it was a lot different. Because once the British came into the Middle East and showed men how lazy they could be, they took on to that very well. So anyway, they don't really do anything in that culture now. You could argue that for ours. But anyway, so that's the picture of God, okay, as a shepherd, okay? That's in Psalm 23. All right? The picture of the woman or the mother, okay, in Psalm 131 says, "My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with matters are things too wonderful for me, but I've stilled and quieted myself and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both from now and forevermore." And then you can also see the picture of God where Jesus says, like a mother hen gathers her chicks. That's how the Father gathers his people to him. And so there's this image of God like that he's a caring mother. Okay, we all know that, you know, a hug from mama when things are wrong make everything right, okay? Dads, we just don't have that, but there's something about mama, I don't know, but anyway. So you can see that picture with God, and they had that from the Psalms. But then also the Father, which we all typically look to God as, but in Psalm 103, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we were formed, and he remembers that we are dust." And so these three pictures, okay, were pictures of the compassion and the gentleness of God, okay? So when you think about these stories, okay, that's what they were trying to think about, okay? Jesus is trying to talk about the compassion of God in these parables, okay? Why did Jesus tell these three parables? Okay, who's he hanging out with? Okay. It says in verse 1, "The tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around Jesus to hear him, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" Can you believe this guy? Does he not know that what these people do? Okay. I can't believe that Jesus would ever be seen with these people, let alone eat with them. Okay, because eating with somebody is a sign in that in their culture of acceptance. If you eat with somebody, you're showing that I'm fine with whatever they're doing. We're cool. So that's kind of the same with us, I guess you could say. If you see me out eating with somebody that you're like, maybe you would think I shouldn't be, okay, the eyebrows would raise and whatnot, okay? So we understand that, okay? So Jesus hears these Pharisees muttering, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And then he starts into these parables, okay? So these parables are basically speaking to these guys' insults of Jesus or how they're viewing Jesus, okay? So let's talk about that first parable, okay? So left side of the room. All right, what's our takeaway from that parable of the lost sheep?
One matters.
Okay? Everyone matters. Okay? Anything else come up with? Jaquan's pointed at Dominique. So I'll ask Jaquan. Jaquan, what did you come away with on the... Okay. Okay, think about that sheep. Okay, that sheep's out by itself. Okay, can that sheep do anything once it gets away? Okay, sheep are dumb. Okay, when sheep get lost, they lay down and they just start crying out for help. Okay, they don't know nothing else to do. Okay, I'm lost. They sit down and help. Okay, now in doing that, okay. Yes, you're crying out for help. What does that also do? Let all the wolves know exactly where you are, okay? So you can imagine this shepherd, okay, he's sitting there counting, okay? 98, 99, shut up, I'm trying to count. And then he's going all the way to it. He gets all the way to 99. Where's that last one? He knows, okay, if I don't find this sheep, it's a goner because it's not going to do anything, okay? Sheep only follow, okay? If let's say there's a canyon in between the sheep and his shepherd. If the shepherd calls them, the sheep are going to walk right into that canyon. Even if the ones in front of them are doing it, they're going to keep doing it because they hear the shepherd's voice. Okay, they trust the shepherd that much. Okay, so sheep don't think before they do things. Okay, so the shepherd knows that. So he goes out and he finds them because he knows that that sheep is helpless without him. Okay, all right. So that's kind of the take home from that one. Okay, now the middle one. Okay, the lost coin. Okay, if I gave you 10 quarters, okay, and you lost one, okay, or sorry, I won't put you that picture, okay. When you think about this story, okay, what is it that you're thinking? Okay, got me, man. Okay. Fair enough. Okay. Anything else? Any other things except for maybe that coin was very important? And then she had a party when she found it. I really think it's because her house was clean. At least that'd be at our house. But the house is clean. Woo! No. I'm going to look at something here in just a second. But in the first century, okay, women, all right, had a necklace that had 10 coins on it. Okay, and that necklace was almost just like a wedding ring would be to us today. Okay, so now, okay, think about this lady. Okay, she's lost one of the coins. Okay, on her wedding ring, basically. Okay, now does it make a lot more sense as to why she was sweeping the house and taking care of things? Okay, because I don't know if you've ever lost your wedding ring or anything like that. Okay, I was stupid enough to take my ring off and play with Jake with my wedding ring. Okay, something happened. I went to the door. I came back. Wedding ring was gone. Okay, I flipped our house upside and down. I think eventually came to Jake, maybe throwing it away. But anyway, got the new one. Okay, but searched frantically, trying to hide the fact that I had lost it. You know, I was like, okay, you know, okay, I'm searching eBay. Can I find a replacement before anybody knows? Okay, trying to do all these things, and then you end up getting caught, and then you have to tell them, I played with a ring with a 3-year-old and lost. You know, it's like all these things, okay? And then you have to deal with all the, okay, we won't go any more into that. But I feel for this woman, okay? She lost, okay, her wedding ring, okay? And she finds it, okay? And you can see the relief because imagine her having to tell her husband, okay, I lost part of what you gave me, okay? Okay, and so now you can see the rejoicing in that she found it. And I didn't get to throw a party because I never found mine. But I think Jake threw it in the trash. I think that's what we eventually came to. But anyway. So take home lesson from this parable, if I was telling it, don't take off your wedding ring, okay? Just kidding. Remember that, Jared, when you get kids. Okay. Remember that when you have kids. Don't take off your wedding ring. Okay. Okay, so in losing this ring, okay, she goes and finds it. Okay, this is not ring, but these coins, very valuable. Okay. And so now we get to my favorite one, okay? The parable of the lost son. All right, so as I said earlier, okay, a man had two sons, and the young one says, Dad, I wish you were dead. Give me my money. So the dad gives him the money, okay? I don't know what I would do in that situation. Can't imagine, you know, Lucy coming up to me and said, Dad, you know, it's just going to take way too long to get my inheritance. You know, I think I need it now, okay? And then for me to give it to them, knowing, okay, this is not the right thing to do, okay, but still granting that request and giving it to them, okay? All right, it says that the son went away and set for a distant country, okay? In Jesus' day, a distant country, okay, was the name of a place that everybody was very familiar with, okay? It's land called the Gerasim. Okay, if you know the story where all the pigs are on the cliff and it goes into the demons and they run off the edge, okay, that's the land of the Gerasim, okay? It's the place that the rabbis said that all those Canaanite tribes went to, you know, the Canaanites, the Jebusites, the Perizzites, the Vegemites, the, you know, all those guys that went over there, okay? Vegemites really isn't one of the terrible jokes. Okay, so all those people went there, okay? All these pagans, all these people dwelled in this one place, okay? And so everybody knew that that's where all the bad stuff happened, okay? It was called the other side, okay? So it was when Jesus went to the other side, that's where he was going. It was also called a far country, okay? So when Jesus says this kid went to a far country, okay, everybody sitting there goes, okay, we know exactly what he's going to do, and that's exactly what he did, okay? It says that he wasted his money on wealth and wild living, okay? And so the idea behind that is, you know, maybe you could just picture that one place in Las Vegas, okay? He wasted all of his money, okay? So he goes there, he spends all of his money, everything's gone, okay, and he's sitting there in a pig pen, okay? Now, that's nasty to be sitting in a pig pen, okay? But to the Jew, okay, how much worse would this be? Okay? This animal is, pigs are nasty anyway, but they make good bacon, but they're just nasty animals, okay? And so they were unclean. Out of all the animals that Jews could not eat or touch, the pig was like the worst of the worst, okay? So you can imagine all these Jews sitting there, okay, listening to this story, okay? This guy just went off to Las Vegas, wasted all of his money, and now he's sitting in a pig pen wishing that he could eat the food that the pigs are eating, okay? This has to be the lowest of the low for Jesus' audience, okay? So the son says, this is just ridiculous. I need to go back home. My dad's servants are treated better than this. I'm just going to go back and not even be a son, but just be a servant, okay? So the boy gets back and is walking back home, okay? Now, what does it say that the father is doing? Okay, he's watching, okay? He's watching and he sees his son coming, okay? And what does he do? He runs, okay? What else? Okay, he hugs him, kisses him, puts a ring on his finger, puts new clothes on him, calls the servants. Okay, what do? Okay, they're having this huge party, okay? And rightly so. I mean, the man's son, okay, is come back home, okay? Now, forget what I asked this right side. Anyway, I left y'all out. I'm sorry. Okay. So now we know what the dad in the story does, okay? But just think that I'm telling you this parable, this story, okay? As I'm telling you these things, okay, this is the state that this son has put himself in, and now he comes back home. What's the dad going to do? I know I ruined the story, but you knew it anyway, okay? Okay, I told you so, all right? You can imagine all the other things that, okay, these Pharisees especially are sitting there, okay, listening, okay? I can't believe that this father would do anything for this son, okay? Sorry I left y'all out. I'll get you better in next time, okay? But in that culture, okay, elderly men do not run. It is a disgrace to the community for an older man to run, okay? So when Jesus says that this old man gets up and he runs to his son, a lot of people in that audience are sitting there going, there is no way that man should ever do that. Especially for a son that told him, wished he was dead, took half the guy's money, and ran off and wasted it all. Why in the world would that man ever do that? He should never do that. Disgraced his whole community to take back this son who wasted everything. But then it says that Jesus goes on with the story, because I don't know if he knew it ahead of time and what he was thinking, but maybe he was telling the story and he could see the reactions on their face, or maybe he knew what their reaction would be in knowing what they're thinking. And so he says, well, you know, there's two sons in this story, right? So he says, while he was still a long way off, his brother heard, meanwhile, the older son was in the field. He came near the house and heard music and dancing. He called and says, what's going on over here? It's like, I've been working all day. What's this party for? And they said, your brother was gone and now he's come back. Okay, and it says that the older brother got what? Angry. He got angry and he stormed off to his dad. He says, what the deuce? I've been with you all these years, slaving for you, never disobeyed your orders, and you never even gave me a young goat that I could celebrate with my friends. But this son of yours who squandered his property with prostitutes comes home and you kill a fattened calf for him. Cat and calf, that's funny. Okay? Okay? Dad, I've been here for you every day. I've done everything you asked. I never did anything wrong. And you never let me have a party with my friends. Okay? You can imagine this son, okay, being upset, okay, that the brother who ran off and did all these things comes back and everything's fine. No repercussions. But the father says, my son, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. Well, we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and he's alive again. He's lost and he's found. So we know that these parables aren't just stories. Okay, Jesus just wasn't telling a story because, you know, they sounded cool or anything. Okay, but he was telling a story to make a point. Okay, what do we call parables, or what do we say a parable is? Okay, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Right? Didn't want to get that backwards. Okay. Okay. That's what we like to pitch it as, okay? An earthly story with a heavenly meaning, okay? It's this cool story that you can remember, but then there's a take-home, all right, that you can go and tell everybody about. Okay. So we said that the point of these stories was rejoicing when those that are lost come home, or when people are found. Okay? How do we typically... how can I word this? Okay, we're dealing all around us. Okay, there's people that are lost. Okay, there's people that are lost that have never known God. There's people that are lost that are sitting in church buildings. There's just people that are just lost. Okay? And then one of those people, okay, comes back home, okay, or comes to God. Okay? How do we typically perceive God in that situation? What is God's role, okay, in these people's lives as to why they come back or how they repent or those kinds of things? Is that making any sense? Okay, is God one who's basically sitting up there, okay, and putting things in people's lives to test them to see how he loves them, okay? Or these people come back, and God's just waiting for when they come back. But when they do come back, okay, when they get everything right and they turn back, okay, God's there ready to receive them. Is that typically how it's looked? Let's not say something. I'm trying to get somebody to say something, okay? Okay, is it typically viewed as, okay, God's always there for you, okay? When you're ready, he's going to be there for you. Is that how we typically talk about it? Just nod and we'll move on, okay? All right, so typically, okay, it's God is there for you. He's always going to be there for you. And when you're ready to turn, he's going to be there, okay? That's not necessarily how we say it, but that may be the view of how it's looked at, okay? Okay, I was going to say, how does this compare to what we just talked about? Okay? Okay, God isn't just sitting up there in heaven, okay? Spinning the world and letting things happen, okay? Jesus told this story because these Pharisees said, I can't believe that this man would entertain sinners, that he would eat with tax collectors and sinners. So Jesus says, okay, fine, if that's the way that you want to view me and you want to view this, okay, I'm going to tell you some stories. All right, he talks about a shepherd who's the picture of God. He talks about a mother who's the shepherd of God, the picture of God. And he talks about a man who's the picture of God. And each of them, God is actively seeking out, okay, these lost people, these people who are helpless, these people who are sinners. God is actively seeking them out. He's going out. He's in the story of the Son. God is not a God who's just going to let us go, and if things kind of fall right, or if there's certain people get in life that they're going to turn back. God goes into embarrassing places and shames himself to bring people to him. He leaves heaven and interacts in our lives. In this messed up world that we've got, God enters into it and brings heaven to us. Doesn't matter where you've been or where you were or what you've done, God says, I'm not going to wait for you to come back to me. I'm going to come to you. And if you talk to people who, you know, have done that road, okay, that the Son is on, okay, and you say, man, what made the change, okay? There's always something that God is, they could see that God was trying to do something. He was nudging them, and they pushed back for so long. Okay, I'll say, I pushed back for so long. There's all these things that you resist God, and you know that he's there and he's wanting you to change, but you're just too stubborn or what. But God is not a God that just sits back and waits for us to come to him. He's always out pursuing. Okay, now, we said a parable was an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Okay, but what Jesus did and how the Jews treated parables were, it's not just a story, but it's how can I take away from this story? What can I take away in that? Who am I in this story? Because he didn't just tell this story to do it. He told a story to change their lives. Their whole life was about living out the Torah and making it change their lives. And so as you think about this story, especially the parable of the lost son, okay, And you think about, well, where do I fit in this story? Am I the father who's lost somebody that I love so much, and they've run away, and I know they're out there doing the things that I don't want them to do, but I want them to come back so desperately? Okay, if they do come back, how am I going to treat them when they come back? Okay? Because the world's going to tell you, look, man, you need to punish them. You need to do this. You need to do that. And probably a lot will think that when that son or daughter is out there, they're just angry, they're whatever, they have all these thoughts. But if that child ever does come back, okay, I can't imagine, you know, well, Jake's kind of wild, but he can run off, but maybe not doing these things. But if something happens down the road and me and Jake, I do something very bad and we, you know, part ways, if he were to ever come back, it wouldn't have mattered what happened because he's my boy. He can do whatever. It's not going to matter. It's not going to change my love for him. But if we are always working for the Lord and we're always at church, we're here every time the doors are open, we're doing all these things, we're in the grind, we're all these things in life, it's very easy for us to fall into the place of that older brother. Okay? I think we can all relate to each person in this story. Okay? These people that are out, you know, they have all these nice things, they're driving these nice cars, okay? They do all these things, and then they come begging me for money. Or they're asking me for food. Or they're doing all these things. He's like, well, you just need to stop and you need to get right, okay? But they don't know. They're the younger brother. They're off trying to do their own thing. They don't realize that what they're doing may be hurting other people. It's very easy to get in that place of that because I'm doing what God wants, we're better off than others. It's easy for us to get angry at God for seeking out these people that are doing these things. But I think the cool part is that both of these sons didn't really get what the father was trying to teach them. Okay, the youngest son, okay, realized, okay, I want to try it on my own. I want to do my own thing. And the father let him do it. And when he came back, okay, the son wasn't going to come back and want to be a son again. He wasn't asking for forgiveness. He was just asking for mercy. So when we look and people want to come back to God, or they want to come to God, or they want to come back to church, okay, it's not all about them, you know, repenting the right way or doing the things right or getting everything right back. A lot of people are just searching for mercy. And that older brother did not give his other brother mercy. He wanted him to do everything right because he'd been doing everything right. But God, as the father in the story, looks at that son, and he still has compassion on the older brother. So regardless of how, because each son made mistakes. The older brother ran off and did what he did, but the older brother was with God and still didn't get it. But God still had compassion and mercy on him too. So I think for us to realize is, it's very easy to get in a place where we think that we've got it right because we have God and others don't. But we need to be careful that God's not going to have to use his compassion and mercy on our attitudes because when we're missing the boat on what he's trying to tell us. And so when we look at these three stories, ones that are all familiar to us, we can see that God is a God who actively seeks us out and wants us to be with him. He leaves heaven to be active in our lives, and he wants us to be with him. So regardless of what you've done in your life, if you've ran off and said, God, I want to do it on my own, I want to do all these things, and you've hit that place where you realize, I can't do it by myself, God's going to take you back as a son, even if you don't feel that you're worthy to be his son or his daughter. He's going to take you back just like you were, because he loves you. Or if we've been in that place where we have that attitude of, I can't believe all these things going on around me, or such and such is doing this, or so and so is doing that, and they're getting this, and I'm not, I'm getting passed by. Know that God is actively seeking your heart too, and wants you to see the places that others might be in and the place that you might be in yourself. And that just because you're at church all the time or you're have all these things, we still need to be wanting and searching to ourselves to have the heart that God has for others. And to not have that pride in those things and ask that He would tear those down if they're in our life. So whatever state you're in this story, if you need us to pray with you or do something for you, together we're happy to do that. But if you need that, come as we stand and sing.